You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Last Friday, President Obama unveiled his new approach in Afghanistan, which sets strict standards for measuring progress against al-Qaeda forces and includes an additional troop presence in hopes of stabilizing the country. Afghanistan is also heading towards a major election in August. Joining me now is Dr. Masouda Jalal, a pediatrician, the former Afghan Minister of Women's Affairs, and the first woman to run for president of her country. Her campaign was the subject of a documentary called Front Runner, which is being shown tonight at the Paley Center for Media on West 52nd Street. I'm very pleased that it brings Dr. Jalal to our program today. Hello.
Hello.
You went to a Kabul University Medical School and worked as a pediatrician before and briefly after the Taliban controlled the country. What motivated you to pursue politics?
Well, as a medical doctor and as a lecturer in Kabul University Faculty of Medicine and as an aid worker of United Nations, I was serving people of Afghanistan. But I wanted, knowing all the problems during the interaction with the people and my community members, I wanted to serve people of Afghanistan in a wider circle. So that's why when international community came in and they announced election and they brought with themselves democracy for people of Afghanistan. So I thought maybe this is the time that I can stand for in election for as a candidate. And if I can get the people of Afghanistan support and the international community support, maybe I can serve in a wider, broader circle to people of Afghanistan to promote their living a status, and also to bring a positive change to their lives.
Before the rise of the Taliban, had many women held prominent political positions in the country?
The women of Afghanistan has joined politics, but a few number.
During the years when
during
of Soviet
the years,
influence?
Since 30 years, since 30, 35 years, yes, even before that. Even during Daud Khan time and even during the King time, we had women minister and women in the parliament.
So there must have been some women who you were aware of who had inspired you, or was the Taliban period so destructive that everything had to be started all over again?
Well, of course, during Taliban time, women of Afghanistan were imprisoned during under the territory of Taliban. And I personally was active. I was working within United Nations system.
Secretly, weren't you?
Yes,
was it possible to do anything like that openly?
No. It was not allowed. But within the United Nations frame as a senior national program officer and heading women's programs and children's programs and health programs working for disabled in different provinces under the territory of Taliban. So I had Women Bakery Project in Kabul that was reaching about 30,000 women widows by distributing breads, and also 500 women workers were provided jobs. So with all the difficulties that I was experiencing during the Taliban time and up and downs, of course, but I was actively continuing my services to people and to my community.
Women just couldn't go out on their own. They just couldn't walk the streets on their own.
Of course.
They had to be accompanied by a man. Were you concerned about being imprisoned at that time?
Well, of course. I was taken to the prison, yeah. I was taken to the prison when I was captured on the project site working for women in the community. We had a community-based program of giving loans to women widows at that time. So when I was taken during working for women on the project site, I was taken to the Kabul provincial jail, yeah.
And what happened in the prison?
Well, my office, the United Nations, contacted New York headquarters, and they conditioned the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Taliban, provided they are not releasing, they will stop assisting Afghanistan. So after 40 hours, then they released.
Had you been able to practice medicine at that time?
Well, since I have finished from the Faculty of Medicine, I am providing the medical assistance and consultation to people.
The country had been ravaged by decades of war. Were there many medical professionals beside you in Kabul at that time?
Yeah, I mean, not too many numbers, but we had medical professionals working for people, yeah.
My guest is Dr. Masouda Jalal. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, yeah.
The first woman to run for president of her country. In fact, she ran twice. You were first elected as a delegate to Afghanistan's 2002 Loya Jirga, or Grand Council. Weren't Loya Jirgas traditionally male-only affairs?
Well, it is a male-dominated affairs. All the structures in Afghanistan, and it is male-dominated. The society is male-dominated. The foundations has been male-dominated. Even the mentalities have been male-dominated. One of the reasons that I joined politics was to make it fair, to bring social justice to the country, to end up to the discrimination, as I'm being trained as a doctor, that to serve human without any discrimination. So I wanted that idea that I had to be put into practice. And if I was to be elected as a president, and I had that authority to implement this idea. So I wanted to end up discrimination of many kinds that is right now in my country, like racial discrimination, ethnicity, local language, religious and gender discrimination.
There's racial discrimination in Afghanistan?
Yes, we have different races in Afghanistan. We have...
Isn't everybody generally from some kind of Turkic background?
Yeah, there is Turkish, there are Pashtuns, Aryai, races, and we have also the yellow races as Azaras.
Oh, because there are some people who come from other parts of Asia who moved into the area. Pashtuns dominate the central part, and they also are in Pakistan. Isn't that one of the problems, that that even though there are borders on maps, in reality, those borders are a little more blurred?
That's true. Well, our Pashtuns are living in the southern part and eastern part, mainly in Afghanistan. And of course, we have in Pakistan the Pashtuns or Pashtunas in Pakistan too.
And they see their area as just a Pashtun area, not
and that's a
Afghanistan
Pashtun area.
Or Pakistan.
Yes, that's a Pashtun area, yes.
Were there other women serving with you on the Loya Jirga?
Well, yes, of course. We had other women delegates from different provinces of Afghanistan in both emergency Loya Jirga and constitutional Loya Jirga, yeah.
Did you feel that you and those other women on the council had a real voice in shaping the post-Taliban government? Or were you just looked upon as those women that we have to have in this council?
Well, to be frank, we were not involved in the negotiation behind curtains.
Mm.
So that
all the
area,
serious stuff was done with you excluded.
With male leaders. The real decisions was made behind the curtains. So where we were not present. We were in the Loya Jirga big tent. The tent that the people could see that. But the small tents where people couldn't see and where the real decisions was to be made. So we were not present there. Like right now, the meetings, the negotiations that is going on for the next government, women are not involved. We don't know what's going on.
So to some degree, were you more symbolic than
of
actual?
Course.
You weren't allowed to engage in real policy decisions.
Of course, it was more symbolic than being real. Of course, yeah.
So what happened when you declared your candidacy in the Loya Jirga to run for president?
Well, the criteria was to gather a number of signatures. I gathered those number of signatures, lobbying from representative to representative, talking of women's rights, talking of women leadership, and convincing them and gathering their signatures. So when the signatures were completed, I handed over to the commission, and then the criteria were fulfilled. So they announced me as a candidate. I had a very good program to present to representative of people of Afghanistan in Loya Jirga. And it was well welcomed. And people listened to it. And they welcomed it. And when voting process started, I remember that groups of representatives were coming to me and saying that we are voting to you.
So you got general support. You weren't facing much resistance from people
from
in the
council. Representatives, no.
In fact, only you were one of only a couple of candidates in the Lawyer Jirga.
Three.
So did you get a sense that Hamid Karzai had been selected by some other process?
Well, that sense were there, and that he had the support of international community.
Of the United States.
Yes. I didn't have that.
Now, why do you think you didn't? I have a clip from former President Bush speaking March of last year about the role of women in the new Afghanistan.
The United States works to help build more hopeful and just societies throughout the world, and in particular the Middle East. In Afghanistan, the Taliban once beat women without reason and executed them without remorse. Today, because we acted, Afghanistan's women serve as teachers and doctors and journalists and judges. More than 80 members of Afghanistan's parliament are women.
Well, that would suggest that it was in the best interests of the United States to support women in major policy-making roles, and yet you say that you were pretty much excluded. Did you feel the United States didn't take you seriously?
Of course, yeah. Yes. Because the only lack that I had, I felt, was that international community didn't support me. I went to many districts of Afghanistan. People welcomed me. And the media is the witness. The media that was going side by side with me. That the people of Afghanistan welcomed. People of Afghanistan appreciated my candidacy. People of Afghanistan wanted. I got votes on free will from all ethnicities, from all provinces of Afghanistan.
Men as well as women? Because aren't there deeply ingrained prejudices against women in positions of power in
well,
the culture?
The public welcomed. That's my experience. And also we have right now 27% of lower house consists of women, and the upper house, we have about 23 representatives are women in the Mashanu Jirga, which is the upper house, and we have all the seats allocated for women. 25% in provincial councils by the constitution is filled. So all this means that people of Afghanistan welcomes women leadership, welcomes women in politics. So what I was lacking in presidential election was lack of or absence of international community support. So that's why I failed. That's the only reason that I can see.
It's been argued that the Bush administration said it was for women's rights in Afghanistan, but then changed course if pursuit of that goal got in the way of other objectives. What do you think the United States really would like to see women being able to do in Afghanistan?
Well, I hope what in the beginning in the United States announced can abide by that to the end. I mean, that is the democratic values and the democratization process of different aspects of life in Afghanistan requires. So if we want democracy in Afghanistan to be implemented, so we need to bring the half of the population on the scenario too. If we ignore the half of the population, where does the government takes its legitimacy, its legality? Because if we want democratic government, we want a democratic society, and we want rule of law in the country. We want our constitution to be implemented. We want all the international conventions, international laws that we have signed and ratified to that to be implementing. We cannot ignore half of the population.
My guest is Dr. Masuda Jalal, a pediatrician, the former Afghan Minister of Women's Affairs, the first woman to run for president of her country. She is also the subject of a documentary film called Front Runner, which will be screened tonight, and I'll give you more information about that later. And we will continue our conversation after this. We're back with Dr. Masuda Jalal, who has run for president of Afghanistan twice, and I assume you plan to run again in the next election?
Well, not yet decided. Yeah, it's still I'm in the consultation process, and let's see until the gates of election.
In 2004, you did make your second bid for the presidency of Afghanistan. Hamid Karzai was already established as president, had strong U.S. backing. So how did you assess your chances in that election?
In the 2004?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 2004...
Did you think you had a chance?
Well, in 2004, I thought that it is the will of people of Afghanistan determining the results of election. So that's why I decided to stand for presidential election. I knew that I had my community support because directly I have served during the 20 years of my service in Afghanistan. Directly to I have reached to the families and to the community members to hundreds of thousands.
Well, the BBC described your candidacy as symbolic. Do you think that people in Afghanistan saw you as more of a symbol than a real political force?
Well, all provinces voted to me. All provinces of Afghanistan. All different ethnicities voted.
More women than men, I assume?
Men and women and youth. The properties of votes that I received, it was a quality vote, and it was commented by the media.
You were the only woman running against 17 male candidates. Did you get the sense that some women might have been afraid to vocally support you?
Well, a lot of women supported. A lot of women worked in my campaign, teachers, doctors, and young women, girls, worked in my campaign in the provinces.
So where did you come in the among the 17 people running?
Sixth, yeah. But who were before me? The warlords. Members that was candidates, they had illegal militias, they had a lot of money left from the wartime, so they got votes ahead of me.
I want to talk about the warlords in a moment, but during that campaign, were you at all concerned? After all, Benazir Bhutto was assassinated in Pakistan in 2007, of course, after that election, but I suspect that people made death threats. It's not all that uncommon. Were you concerned about your family's safety and your safety?
Well, of course. I mean, for struggling to bring a great change, positive change in your country, that's a big job. And, of course, the enemies of Afghanistan are the threats to the person or to the groups that want such a change in the country. Well, of course, it is a risky job. And, of course, it is threatening. And it is full of risk. But from the moment that I decided to come into politics of Afghanistan, I have realized this. Understanding this risk, I have decided to be serving my people.
As part of their campaign right now, creating a certain amount of terror in Afghanistan, the Taliban has been targeting schools that teach girls, teachers who teach girls. They are making a point of going after anything that might suggest progress for women in the country.
Well, so far, I mean, since the international community has come into Afghanistan, I mean, I have become 2 times elected delegates to 2 Loya Jirgas and also 2 times presidential candidate. And also for almost 20 months, I was Minister for Women's Affairs, traveling to all provinces.
So Hamid Karzai appointed you to that job?
Yes.
Even though you were a political opponent?
Yes.
Did he give you any real power?
No.
So what did that mean, being the Minister of Women's Affairs?
Well, I didn't knew that when I accepted with him. When he suggested me to become a cabinet member, so my voters, the public support that I had, they were saying that since people were asking us, as a first woman leader, would you have the management and the leadership skills and abilities to run the country? So please accept any position that can be suggested. In 2002, that suggestion was made, but I didn't accept. In 2002, the suggestion was made that I should become the first deputy president and cabinet member. But I didn't accept at that time. I continued struggling for 2004 to become the president of Afghanistan. But in 2004, since my supporters were asking me to accept any position suggested to show your leadership skills to people of Afghanistan. That's why I accepted. But when I accepted and I became a minister for women's affairs, I saw that there was no support from the president. But then I took initiative of building relationship with international organization, and I did lots of activities and lots of programs with the and projects with the international community partnership. So I did the activities through other channels.
Well, so, but how much could of an impact could you have? In 2006, a women's rights organization called Womankind Worldwide said that 60 to 80% of all Afghan marriages are forced.
Sure.
And that 57% of girls are married before the legal marriage age of 16. Domestic violence remains widespread.
Yes, of course. Women of Afghanistan have lots of problems. To be a woman in Afghanistan is very, very difficult. To be a girl in Afghanistan is the most difficult thing, I think, in the world. And all the statistics that we have, it shows that Afghanistan women's situation is very bad. Like we have 1 million widows in Afghanistan left from wartime. And we have and the women representation in the government of Afghanistan as the civil servants, 31% in 2005. But now it has come down to 22%. The women workers in the government. And also we had the contractors, women contractors to the government as 10% in 2005. Now it is 7%. It has come down. Also, we have 9% of women in decision-making positions, which is very low. And we expect at least 30%. Since we are half of the population, we need to go to 50%. We have 0.4% women in police, 0.6% women representation in the army. And we have 5% of women representation in high court. We have 6% of women prosecutors in general attorney and prosecution office, which is very low. And only in the lower house, we have 27%. And in the upper house of the parliament, we have 22%, which is good. So all these statistics shows that we have only 5% of women in the business in the country. So 95% of the business of Afghanistan belong to men. So this shows that we have a long way to go. And we have only 11% of Afghanistan women literate. And we have the highest, the second highest maternal mortality rate in Afghanistan in the world.
Wow.
The second highest in the world.
And you're a pediatrician.
And we have forced marriages, we have blood price marriages, we have exchange marriages, we have child marriages, and we have the provision from inheritance rights in practice. And we have also domestic violence to a very high rate, physically, psychologically, and even sexually. And we have problems like poverty among women. Poverty in Afghanistan has female face. And we have lots of many different problems that without women leadership in Afghanistan is impossible to serve women and to bring a positive change to women's life.
My guest is Dr. Masuda Jalal, who is the former candidate for president of Afghanistan, ran twice. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. A listener wants to know how would you be able to deal with the pervasive corruption in Afghanistan? Or is that one of the least of the country's problems? For example, not only is there corruption, but the warlords have been given real say and control many parts of the country. And as we've been hearing recently, I think it's something like 96% of all the world's opium crop is now being grown in Afghanistan, an incredible amount.
Well, in 2004, I was saying in my campaign that if President Karzai become the president of Afghanistan, since he will make a coalitive government with whom? With looters, the ones, those groups who looted already the cities in the country in 90s.
The ones
so
who created made, the instability that led to the Taliban coming in.
The coalition
in the
with them. So brought the looters and gave them political power. So which resulted into having a corrupted government right now. So when you are empowering the looters, so that happens. And the looters, that political groups that destroyed Afghanistan and looted the cities and made a lot of crimes, instead of going into the transitional justice, they became powerful in politics of Afghanistan. So that is why the business of drugs, through the connections of such elements that came into power, grow. So that's why the current problems that Afghanistan has, as insecurity and terrorism, as drug business, and also as corruption and discrimination, it came all because of that coalitive government with warlordism and with extremism and with looters and criminals.
And it's
so if I was the president, this was not the case right now, because I would have brought the intellectuals, the technocrats, the democrats, and the women leadership in the country. So women of Afghanistan are the clean citizens. I always say this from the beginning. They are the clean citizens. They have not been involved in the destruction of Afghanistan. They are not involved in extremism programs. They are not involved in drug issue. They are not involved in corruption. They are not involved in discrimination.
Well, let's talk about the upcoming elections. First of all, on Sunday, the Afghan Supreme Court issued a non-binding decision which said that President Karzai should stay in office until the new elections, even though his term as president ends on May 21st. This is because the election was postponed from May to August?
Of course, President.
What, for security reasons? Would things be more secure between May and August?
Well, you know that in Afghanistan government, the executive power has a lot of power in Afghanistan, and president is holding that. So it's a kind of president being more powerful than the authorities and power that's given in the constitution of Afghanistan. So he is postponing to maintaining his power, to have enough time to become again candidate and to be prepared enough to win again.
Are you surprised by some of the people who are potential candidates? The Washington Post reports that they include a former Afghan finance minister, Ashraf Ghani, a former World Bank official, Ali Ahmad Jalali, and even Zalmay Khalidzad, the former U.S. envoy to Kabul.
Yeah,
it sounds to me like a number of them are expected to be very pro-Western.
Well, they are Afghan technocrats. They are Afghan scholars. So the Afghanistan will be reconstructed and will be peaceful and secured to the desires that we are thinking the international community and people of Afghanistan to reach through the Afghanistan scholars, Afghanistan intellectuals, and Afghanistan technocrats and women leadership. So with this group, these two group of people in the political power of Afghanistan, Afghanistan will be made.
Now,
so the women intellectuals and the main intellectuals. So people of Afghanistan will welcome the government of technocrats.
The most of the fighting in Afghanistan takes place in the summer. Is that a good time to hold these elections in August?
Well, if it is during the cold time, then people cannot participate because of the coldness. In some part of the country, it becomes very cold, and people cannot walk long distance and take part in voting. So it's better to have it in the time where we have when we have a good weather.
President Obama has announced a renewed focus on Afghanistan. On Friday, he said that we will be sending an additional 4,000 troops on top of the 17,000 he's already sent there. Do you think an increased troop presence will help stabilize the country?
Of course. Of course. Of course, we welcome that. We confirm that. President Obama has said that to support security of Afghanistan, to support different security ministries, Ministry of Internal Affairs, Ministry of Defense and Intelligence Service, to enable these ministries to defend Afghanistan and do their job themselves. And also the support of sending more soldiers will be helping Afghanistan stabilization and in the region. Of course, it is helpful. We are supporting this strategy, and it is helpful to Afghanistan, very much valuable.
Well, some people argue that the real problem in Afghanistan is Pakistan, and that until the Pakistani aims, you know, the desire of Pakistan to have more more control over Afghanistan is changed, we're not going to see any stability in the country.
Well, the opposition of the government right now is Taliban. And
But isn't the Taliban to some degree still at least allegedly supported by some factions
yes.
in Pakistan?
Well, the countries where there is support for the Taliban, those should be negotiated and stopped. So the sources of energy to Taliban should be stopped.
What do you think the U.S. mission in Afghanistan should be?
In Afghanistan? What do you mean by that?
What do you think that if you were talking to President Obama, what would you tell him the first thing he should do?
In Afghanistan, election is coming. We need a change, a positive change in Afghanistan too. So in this process of election, there is a time, the legal time to bring this change. So the change, the new strategy of Obama needs new techniques and new faces. And I will emphasize for women and technocrats to have the political power and to lead the country towards peace and reconstruction. I will ask President Obama that we shouldn't let the warlords, the looters, the war criminals, and the extremism to have political power in Afghanistan. So if we are ending up the participation of these illegal groups in the political power of Afghanistan, we will end up the current problems of Afghanistan too.
Can the United States actually rid, take away the power of the warlords?
Sure. In the presidential election that we have 4 months from now, the candidate who will be the winner shouldn't go into coalition with these groups, should not go into coalition with these groups. So that would mean the success of this person will mean that the success of people of Afghanistan and the technocrats and the scholars and the intellectuals, main women, should join the government and should lead the country. So the warlords, the looters, and the extremists and terrorists and those who are involved in drug business, the commanders, they all will go out of the system. So once they are going out of the system, their power will be decreased and weakened. So once they're weakened, they cannot be so much impacting the life of people and the life of the country on the negative way that they have been so far.
Well, I'm going to support you if you decide to run for president a third time.
With only you is not possible, yeah. I need the international community support to be succeeded in this desire.
I thank you so much for being with us today. Dr. Musada Jalal, the former Afghan Minister of Women's Affairs, the first woman to run for president of Afghanistan. Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, you're most welcome.